إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. First and foremost, I would like to thank one and all, the Jamaat, the trustees, the Imam, to give me an opportunity to be once again amongst yourselves. I was here about 3 years ago in the month of Ramadan, and mashallah, we had quite a big gathering. Whole masjid was full, and I think that gathering was about 4 hours program plus minus, where people had asked many questions. Those that were here will remember. But at the same time, I would put it into context that as we are in this country, we have people from the Muslim Ummah, from the community, asking our ulama, our muftiyana ikram, different types of questions. At the same time, we must also understand we should and we must not go into any ikhtilaf, ikhtilafat, and sometimes when there is difference of opinion of our ulama, there is khair and there is rahmah also. To take a very quick example for us to understand, my ustad, who also comes to this country, Hazrat Mufti Sayyid Ahmad Palampuri Sahib, I studied under him in Darul Deoband. It's a long time, 25-30 years. But he was in South Africa a month ago. So I may put it into this context with one example before we maybe go any further, that in one ulama majlis, only khas, only ulama and nobody else were there. He made that a special majlis besides all his other programs that had taken place in the short time that he had come for 6 days into South Africa. So amongst the ulama, certain questions were posed to Hazrat. And we as his students understood and tried to remember the days of our Talim Zamana in Darul Deoband, and waqiyatan we were his students, because so many questions that we had posed, they said that we are here once again learning as we were as students 25-30 years ago in his class, in his dars. And I had taped the whole of Tirmizi at that time. I even, besides being in class, I taped Tirmizi as well. But you know, I will start with the question of Jinga, you know. I think we had discussed this before as well. But the same question was posed in the ulama program in South Africa. So Hazrat said, Mere nazdik haram hai. I rather start with that. Hazrat said, Mere nazdik haram hai. Lekin kisi ko rokna, kisi ko kena haram hai. Agar, if somebody asked a question, he asked as an individual. Please understand differences when we come to masails. One is what you are asking, and one is an am mas'ala for the entire public. One is majburi ka naam, because you also asked me questions in the past about interest. You talk about mortgage. There they say mortgage, there we use interest. You know, majburi ka naam. You ended off with the bank. We took those examples too. Hazrat Mufti Sayyid Palampuri Sahib has said, when people ask these questions, he said, Mera nazdik ye hai, haram hai. Aur maine kabhi zindagi mein khaya nahi aur irada bhi nahi hai. But at the same time, Hazrat said, jo sawal aap pooch raha hai, the question that you have asked, Hazrat hum jinga kha sakte Hazrat. So Hazrat said, Hazrat Mufti Palanpuri sahab, when he came a month ago to South Africa, he said, aapka kya maksad hai? Sawal puchna hai ya aapko khana hai? Wallahi al-azim. Hazrat asked, maksad kya hai? Ikhtilaf paida karna hai? Sawal puchna hai? Or you just want to eat it? Agar maksad hai, khana hai, kha lo. Lekin meri nazdik, haram hai. Aapko khana hai, kha lo. Lekin alal enan, sabko kehna, sabko daawat dena, bulana, aur Hazrat bataye ki mere nazdik haram hai, aur sabko daawat dena, aur bulana, aur sirf jinga rakhna, wo bhi haram hai. Because there are people that don't eat jinga. When I heard this a month ago in Ulama program in South Africa, I also smiled to myself. Because I also never ate jinga in my life. Or irada bhi nahi hai. Wallahi lazim. Are we understanding the two differences? So, I think we are starting there. So that, when we ask questions, we don't have a problem with this mufti and that alim and that mufti. Let me take another example. I did my iftar under Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, Gangohi Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, who passed away in South Africa. I'm sure you know about that. Now one is an Aam Majlis and one is Ulama program. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, when people used to ask him questions, so there were certain answers Hazrat never used to give. The sawal was posed forward. So I'd rather give the two ends of the stick, two ends of the story. So when you pose a question to me, don't say why this Mufti Sahib is not answering. Oh, why is he not prepared to say this or that? But last time you asked me the question 3 years ago, I answered all your questions. But probably there could be have been one or two. I think you asked about the questions on Salah times. I remember that. I've got that memory. You asked about Salah times. I said, ask your local imams. I myself can't get used to your times. Wo bhi jawab hai. Sahi hai na sir? So, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh also used to not feel shy, because insan number one, you don't make qitman ilm. When somebody asks a question, if you know it, say it. But at the same time, if you don't know it, wo bhi sawab hai. To say I don't know, ye bhi sawab hai. To say I don't know, because nobody will know everything. It's not possible. And ilm-e-deen is sina pa sina. You can go to the college, you can go to the school, you can go to the university, and you will learn from your tutor, from your teacher, from your lecturer. But if you don't want to go to the school, you can learn privately at home also. And if you don't want to go to university, it does not mean that you haven't studied. It doesn't mean that. So you can learn something of the university privately by somebody, by one individual also, by one person as well. And you can also say, I studied computers, I studied till matric, I've studied postgraduate, I've done my university, or whatever individual subject that you love, psychology or whatever, and I've done it and I've studied it. You can even say that. But usually, if only if you've been to university and you got that certificate in your hand, to main fala university gaya. But if you studied by an individual, aap chup rahenge. Kyun? No university. But ho sakta hai ki aapka dunyai ilm barabri sarabri hai. Ho sakta hai. Are you understanding what I'm saying? All right. So in the same situation, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say the same thing when he used to come to South Africa over the many years. He used to come every year without fail. And for the short time that he used to come, people used to ask questions. So Hazrat used to give also this jawab and say that this question that you are posing to me, yahan ka ulama ko puchiye, yahan ka muftiyan ko puchiye, and that answer what they're going to give you will be totally different from what I will give you if I'm sitting in India. Because there, probably that question that you question is one. But one is jaiz and one is not jaiz, haram. Are we understanding what I'm saying? Sometime, we don't have the husne zan, good thinking of a fellow human being. Why? One reason. That is why when you say, when a lecture has been given, that ilm is Allah's knowledge. The tariqah is the tariqah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we are not looking who is giving the bayan. But we are worried, our concern is what is being said. That is our concern. That if we can get one knowledge, one mas'ala correct, and we understand it very well, and we are able to teach this one mas'ala to somebody else, and he can pass that mas'ala to somebody else correctly, it's already sawaba jariya for you. And it will be better than your 1,000 rakats of nafil salah. One mas'ala. Now a person who is not going to earn that knowledge, what is he going to do? He's going to read 1,000 rakat nafil salah. Is that possible for him too? So it does not mean that you have to be knowledgeable or you have to be an alim. But there are few straightforward masails or rules that you and I can understand and pass to the others. Example, let's take a quick example. Example, for the akhirah, there will be no salah there. So what we understand? We must make sure that we read our 5 times salah. What message we will give to one and all? That make sure we read our 5 times daily salah till our dying bed, until we have died. Now in the qabr you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me that opportunity. I loved to perform salah here. Besides our faraiz, which is faraz, nafil namaz. I loved to perform salah. So, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to perform salah in maqabar. If Allah gives insan that ijazah, that permission to perform salah, no reward. There is no reward. Once a person has died, have left this dunya, you can make zikr, you can make fikr, and you say, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me permission, I want to read Quran. I love reading Quran in this dunya. So I loved it so much that I want to read your Quran pak. I want to make tilawat of the Quran. So give me ijazat in the qabr. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give insan that permission, He will give you that permission. Read Quran as much as you want in the qabr. Lekin sawab nahi hai. Bilkul sawab nahi hai. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives insan all the permission to read namaz in the qabr till the day of qiyamah, no sawab. No sawab at all. Why? The test for man is now. Ibadat is now. So there are two forms of qiyamah. Two qiyamah, we understand out of that. One qiyamah is when insan dies. His qiyamah has started already. And the other qiyamah is yawmul qiyamah. Qiyamah for everybody. Complete resurrection. We understand the difference. Now let's take another example. Another example, the sunnah, Mubarak beard of Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to keep this Mubarak sunnah beard in this dunya. And there is no ikhtilaf amongst all the four imams. Who our four imams are? Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Hanbal. Bilkul ikhtilaf nahi hai. We are making ikhtilaf. One is, if a person, whether it's salah, whether it's any of the ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to perform, which Allah has made it compulsory upon man, upon insan, but banda, what does insan say? Ke, to me, I'm not worried. I'm not performing salah. Salah. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Ghafoor Rahim hai. To agar main parunga ya nahi parunga, I don't worry. But I am a good Muslim. What makes him a good Muslim? Yet he is giving dawah to himself or to his friends with fakhar, with pride. To say, I will only come for my Jummah salah and the other salah I'll read at home or I'll read whenever. Ye fakhar ki baat hogi. Ke, on one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants men to obey him. And on the other hand, insan is making fakhar. Ke, I will obey Allah when I want to. Take an example. Lately, not long ago, in my area, in my district, this person must be now in his 60s, he went for an eye operation, but for some reason it was not successful. So he's totally blind. Usko bhi, take that example also. So he's debating his mind now. Okay, if I didn't go, ifs and buts, you know. If I didn't go, then maybe I would have had half the sight. I would have seen very little. And I would have been able to see. But what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes people born in this dunya totally blind? What about that? From the time he's born, he's never seen the dunya, yet he's living in the dunya. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a person without any part of a limb? Maybe he's disabled somewhere in his body, hand or feet. What about that example? What happens to that example? Then is there any ifs and buts there? Yeah, Allah made him born like that. So who are you going to blame? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought people in this dunya blind also. He gave us example of blind also. He gave us example of disabled also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us example that we are born, we have a mother, we have a father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us example of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. He gave us example of Hawa. So what we are understanding, that a person has every form of example, born with mother, born with father, born without, everything. And what are the Christians saying? That Jesus, they say, is Son of God. And here we say, وَمَا قَتَلُوا وَمَا قَتَلُوا. He was not killed nor crucified. So we have a complete way of life. Everything is in front of us. Now it is for us as human beings to reflect. Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that my ummah will live between the ages of 60 and 70. Between 60 and 70. And after 70, there the term we use, bansela. For free. After 70. Bansela, we say there. So you say, for free, you're getting after 70. Now after 70, if insan doesn't want to straighten his life, if he's still making zina example, if he's still stealing, if he's still robbing somebody, he's still in his business, and he wants to do something that is evil, and he doesn't want to sudre, you know, he doesn't want to come straight. So whose fault is it? And it's our own fault. And that also Nabiya Pak Salasam said, that my ummah to live between the ages of 60 and 70. Now what we must understand is that the past ummahs, they live for hundreds of years. And just few hundred years ago, we also know people live for 100 years. My grandfather also lived over 100 years. My nani also lived almost 100 years. So everybody can have fakhr in our, amongst our Muslims and in our families, that you know so and so, my dada was 90 years and 100 years and 120 years, 110 years. And everybody will say everything. Past ummahs also lived 300 and 500 and 600 and 800 and 900 years each person. So what I am saying, that the reality of understanding the hadith of Nabiya Pak Sarasam in this ummah is in reality in understanding that my ummah to live between 60 and 70 years old. So sometimes there are many ahadith that sometimes we don't understand. Whether we understand it or don't understand it, we have to accept it.
Of course.
That is our iman. That is our iman. Now, we do know from country to country, masails can vary, but the deen is one. Masails can vary, but the deen is one. You will find an example where amongst the muftis, they can say if you're flying in a plane, don't perform salah in the plane. Then you'll find amongst the muftiana also, they say, no, perform your salah there. And also at the same time, when you land, make qaza of it. Then you'll find those muftis also, perform your salah in the plane. If you have performed it, adha, why are you making qaza? Leave it. Look at the three versions I've given you. So, hamare andar, ikhtilaf nahi hona chahiye. Hamare andar, we should not do it. Dar madar, the foundation to everything is your intention. That Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know today the seats in the plane also very, very narrow. Ne? You sit here like that, you can't even bend to pick up one thing also. We know it.
Yeah.
Alright? So now you tell me, sometimes it is impossible in situations, and sometimes salah becomes qaza, and you have a reason that, you know, out of circumstances, this has happened to me and that has happened. When a person got no reason, what he's going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When a person has no reason at all to make a salah, qaza, what jawab is he going to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we understanding all the differences we're talking about? So in a like manner, you know, we should understand that there are many things. You would say the Muslim brother, he is called a modernist Muslim brother. Then you will say, he is now, this one is overdoing it, and that one is underdoing it. So what is he doing and what is he not doing? You know, in Christianity, the person who is a leader, he is the leader. You cannot take his position because they have that leadership in them. And in Islam, if for some reason the imam, the maulana is absent, is not there, anybody can become imam.
Of course.
Provided he understands the masails, and he's capable of performing the salah. Let's look into another quick example. If all of them are fasiq, for some reason, none of them have a Shari Islamic beard. All of them. Then anyone amongst them can be an imam.
MashaAllah.
But amongst them, if somebody is not a Hafiz also, and not an Alim also, and he's got a MashaAllah Islamic beard, we look on face value now. Ke sunnat hai, sab kuch sahi hai, theek hai, he'll become imam, even if he's a Maulana in between you. And iska dari sahi nahi hai. For some reason, example. He overrides him. Understand that also. So what I am saying, that there is a difference That if we make Tawbah now and say, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I understood it now that there will be no beard in the year after. You know our females, our ladies, they have the soft skin. Eh? Ours will be like that on the day of Qiyamah. Imagine how it will be theirs. We'll have no beard at all. No man will have a beard in the Akhirah. No human being man will have a beard in the Akhirah. There is no such thing as a beard in the Akhirah. And we'll have a soft skin like how our females are. Imagine this. So that is also knowledge. That is also something we should know. Why deprive ourselves with this great sunnah of our Nabi Pak Salaam? And for every white hair, every white strand, look at how many ways there are to enter Jannah. This is also another way. There's so many doors to enter Jannah. So Nabi Pak Salaam has also mentioned, for every white strand of hair, Jannat becomes wajib on you. Jannat becomes wajib on you. Now I put mehndi, all my hair is completely white, like Baji. I got no black hair anywhere. Now my ustad, when I visit him now and then, when I go to India and I go to Darulum, so he said, Ab mujhse zyada bura pamanud. Mehndi lagao. So the Hazrat's hukam now and then I put mehndi. Hazrat said, you look older than me. My own ustad is telling me, you looking older than me. So mehndi lagao. So I put mehndi at home. The wife said, why are you putting mehndi? You're looking very young now. What's happening? Not looking for another wife. So I said what Hazrat said. Hazrat ne kya farmaya? To ye hai baat. Otherwise, I'm also totally white. And for every white strand of hair, Jannat becomes wajib. So who wants to deprive himself from that? So inshallah, in this dunya, 20 years, 30 years, 10 years, how many years you going to have a beard? So inshallah, we must make tawbah of that also. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that neck, tawfiq, hidayat also, to remain steadfast in our deen. What time is the Isha? Yeah, I'm not used to the time, sir. Is it? 10:50. How much time I've got? 10:50 is Jamaat. So we still got plenty time. Ji, we're on time still. Ji. So if any of the brothers want to ask me questions, we put the basic rules forward. Don't ask me Salah questions. Because in South Africa, they fast asleep now already. And 7 o'clock is our Isha Salah there. So don't ask me times of Salah here. And don't ask me your Zawal times here. I'm not getting used to that. So, musafir aadmi hai, to zyada sawal bhi mat puchiye. And whatever you wish to ask, alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala give us barkat in our ilm also, in our knowledge also. Allah Ta'ala keep us steadfast also. And Allah Pak's Pak Kalam also, is if you don't have time on a particular day also, even if you look in the Quran and read one line also, that is also barkat. Even just look at it one line. You know? To look at the Pak Kalam also is sawab. It's like when a person goes for Umrah and he makes tawaf, he makes tawaf, he makes tawaf. Nowhere else in the world you're going to make tawaf. Besides, you go to the Haram, you're making tawaf. So from the hadith of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we come to know also, instead of going to the shopping malls and going here and going there and wasting your time, there's nowhere else to make tawaf. Just to sit and look at the Kaaba. Wo bhi sawab hai, sawab hi sawab hai. So please understand it. Just to say this, when a brother is going for Umrah, listen my brothers, when somebody is going for Umrah, you usually say, Umrah, bring some zam for me. No haraj. Bring some khajur for me. No haraj. But you say, you know there's one shopping mall there, there's one toy there, my child wants that toy. That don't ask for. You know that so and so from the shopping place, I need that so and so thing. What are you sending him for then? That is also wrong. At least that is why today's time, as you said very softly, today's time people go for Umrah very quietly. People go for Hajj also very quietly. Why? કદાચ હું મને પૂછી લે કે તમે મને આ વાસ્તે આ લાવી શકે મારા વાસ્તે. યસ વોઝ હેપનિંગ. I also brought a lot of parcels, eh? Maaf karjo, I don't say it on the member. I brought a lot of parcels for a lot of people. You know, to give this one and that one and that one, all different towns. But it will be sawab no kaam, but taklif bhi thai na. Ji, bahut taklif thai. But kahi nahi, sawab mali gyo. We brought it already. So what I am saying is that our intentions also must be correct. Dharma, dar, the foundation to everything is our intention. We should correct our intentions for whatever we are doing. Example, if insan has qazai umri, he got hidayat to perform salah at a very late age. We should not look down upon anybody. We should try our best how we go about performing qazai umri. How do we go about doing these things? If a person got a short term thing, very short term, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, exactly know what is happening, then he should specify his days, which month, which day, which year, and continue his qazai umri. He should do that. A person say, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, I don't know whether I'm going or coming also, and any time, Malakul Maut will also call me any time. I don't know when the angel of death is coming, any time. What must I do then? Now, I don't know which month, and I don't know which year, and I don't know when, I even don't know when I got baligh also. It happens. It happened. Today's time, children got no excuse. I'm talking about the old people. Old people, that time, the mukhlis aadmi hota. They were very sincere people. But the thing is, in those years, in the very early years, ask the old people. Only the old people used to go to the masjid. No youngsters. In today's time, mashallah, everywhere in the world, all the youngsters are coming also. Why? It's a sign of hidayat, nek hidayat. You understand what I'm saying? But at the same time, what I'm saying, there is a lot of vice also. There's a lot of evil around us also. The more ilm we're having, there's more vice also. We're going to the wrong places. Like in South Africa, somebody will say, Allah maaf kare. These are places that we should never even talk about and go also. Say, we're going to Sun City. Sun City matlab? Sin City. So they say, no, you're just going to see only. Why are you only going to see there? Don't even go to see. So in every country, there's a place of evil. In every country, there's a place where you say, we're just going to see only. Just going to see, if your mouth comes away there, what are you going to do? So that also, apre bhi vichar karwano, ke apre ka jata che? Where are you going? What are you going? And if you're going in the right path, you're going in Allah's path, or you're doing somebody's khidmat, you're doing something, and mouth came, you say, you passed away in Allah's path. It's like the tabligh jamaat that are going, they're going in Allah's path 40 days, 10 days, 3 days, whatever, and something happened, we say, Allah naram. He passed away in Allah's path. Somebody got sick, he died, whatever. But a person's intention was wrong, he's going to the wrong direction. He say he passed away in an accident. You know, he passed away in an accident. But he's not telling you where he was going to, Sun City, Maslan. So how he can die as a shaheed? He's going to the wrong place. So that also, we should also know what is right, what is wrong. These are things that we should know. Brothers, got any questions to ask? I think I finished everything. I answered all your questions. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Ji, ji, my brother. Walaikum salam, ji. Ji. Good question, but difficult to answer. Let's answer it. We know our heavenly books, the Quran, the Torah, the Zabur, the Injil. The Quran, not a single letter, alphabet, nothing has been changed, nothing will be changed till the day of Qiyamah. Insan can try and try and try, Muslim or non-Muslim, whatever he will wish to do, Allah has taken a qasam. Understand that first. So the Quran will never ever be changed. And it can never, never can ever be changed. No matter what insan will try. Now we know in our Christian courts, all over the world, the Bible is being used to swear an oath, testimony. If a person takes the oath on the Bible itself, that will be permissible. I'll give you a reason why. Because the Torah, the Zabur, the Injil has been changed over and over and over. Yet it is a heavenly book, but in this dunya it has been changed by men. That's why I took the example of Quran, it has never been changed. Now to answer this, the first part we understood that in the courts in South Africa, and that's what we tell our Muslimin there, that you may touch the Bible. Because we don't know whether you're truthful. We don't know whether you're truthful because you want to get away from something. And what are you saying? You are saying what you want to say so you can be a free man and walk free from court. If you are truthful, Alhamdulillah, Noor ala Noor for you to put your hand on the Quran. If you are truthful. But after touching the Quran, this person, he is free now. Example, the court gave him his freedom, Raja. He comes home, the families, everybody know, Jhutho Uto. He never told everybody, secret, nobody must know. But everybody know he was a liar. Khatra of his iman. He took a qasam on the Quran, Pak Kalam, because not a single letter word has been changed. That's why I am saying, in South African courts, we don't ever use the Quran. Get that difference right. I didn't know that you people are using the Quran here, but I personally will say it is not permissible. But on one grounds, if a person knows he is haq, he knows he is truthful, and he knows that I'm taking a qasam on the Quran and there is no lies in it. Now for him to touch the Quran and make that his shahadat, then it will become permissible. Get the difference. How are we then going to know who's truthful and who's not truthful? So the person who touched the Quran, we say, mashallah, he's truthful. Then again, it depends what type of adalat, what type of case is it? What type of a problem is it? And who are you fighting? Are you fighting another Muslim brother? Is me takrar ho gaya. One Muslim brother is touching the Quran, may right ho. And the other Muslim brother is also taking shahadat on the Quran and is giving the opposite of it. Allah. I don't know if you understand the example. So the two Muslim brothers who are on one another's throats, I'm right, he's right. So who is right? And both touching the Quran. So we have that kind of problem. So on my personal capacity, I will say, it will not be good. Make ihtiyat and try to avoid it. If you could give me a little bit more insight, that do they do it for on every religious situation, that if it's Muslim, then if it's Christian, then it's Bible, then if it's a synagogue, if it's the Jews. Yes. Let me put it this way, in this context. Excellent if they have a choice, number one. If they have a choice, excellent. It's like, you know, in South Africa, when you drive our cars, you have a compulsory third party. Whether you like it or not, you have to take the third party. But after so many years, they scrapped it. Where's the third party gone now? It's gone in your petrol when you buy petrol. Third party is gone in your petrol. So in other words, indirectly you insured. But nobody take insurance of cars, illa mashallah. So one is, I'm not saying they got yakin there, if accident take place, this, that, whatever. Generally, our people, our ulama, say, to take the insurance of your cars, in today's time, our ulama say, jaiz hai. Because of so many cars and so many drivers and so many youngsters and everything. I'm not doing that kind of situation. All the years our ulama were saying, No, not for insurance. Right? So slowly what happened? They said, okay, ab jaiz hai. In today's time, our ulama, our muftayana are giving that this thing, and I'm of the very same opinion as well. If you want to take just the third party, that you only want to insure the other car. If something happens to me, my car can remain smashed. I'll fix it in my own time with my own money when I have it and whatever, but I'll repair his car. So the insurance company will repair his car. That is one form of fatwa or taqwa. The other one is, no, I'm paying my premiums, so your premium become double and triple because you're taking two sides. So he'll repair his car and repair my car as well. So let's come back to that. I just took this quick example, right? It's not part of that. But just for us to understand quickly, that if you have been given the choice, that I would say, if the person 100%, because in his heart of heart, he knows the truth. I am truthful, I know what I am saying, and I know I am on haq. I didn't steal the item. I didn't rob him of his estate. Two brothers are fighting. And one is saying, Maruche. The other said, no, Maruche. Father gave it to me, or like this or like that. We must also understand that when a person, before he passes away, if the father or mother has to give something in one's lifetime, that is not inheritance. It's called a gift. And when they pass away, all of them must inherit. A brother or sister cannot say, no, papa, aprena zindinga tamane mali tamane dey di do, so you got it already. Aapko mil gaya, to bas theek hai. No, it doesn't work. Lifetime is called a gift. You are not inheriting in a lifetime because you never inherit in a lifetime. If your father or mother wants to give it in a lifetime to you, he can give it to you as a gift. After wafat, after death, that is called inheritance. So a lot of times you find that somebody has been deprived. Coming back to the question, we need to complete that question. Otherwise you will be leaving something there before we go to another this thing. That when you have been given a choice, let's conclude this quickly. When you have been given a choice, alhamdulillah, I think it's excellent when you've been given a choice. If you feel that you are truthful in what you are doing, then you may take your qasam on the Quran. Are we understanding what I'm saying? But at the same time, if you know in your heart of hearts, because you haven't declared it to the people in the court or to your family or whoever and whatever, then you should take that ihtiyat, because then it can be khatra of iman that you are a liar, you have stole or you have robbed or whatever your kind of case is here, and now you want to take the qasam on the Quran, the khatra of iman. Ji, I think we have concluded on that. Ji. Ji, farmaya ma. Alright, we'll come to that. Ji, just... Are you a new... Ji. Okay. I'll conclude that very well. We should firstly try to avoid it, because you must remember something. When a person goes to court, absolute ihtiyat got to be made with a reason. At times you're not going to have wudu. It is totally qat'an haram. Totally haram for a person. Even though you may be on haq. And now you want to touch the Quran to prove yourself. If you don't have wudu, what are you going to do? If you're not pak, what are you going to do? Are you going to kick your iman? Are you going to throw your iman away? So I say, shukr, alhamdulillah, we don't use that system in South Africa. That's why we say it could vary from country to country. So we should totally avoid it, if we can. And as far as possible, if you can take the Quran out, pak kalam, from all our courts out, and whoever are those people that are in charge and have the excellence of understanding how to go about doing these things, remove those Quran from the court situation, because you get our non-Muslims also touching it if it's going to be there. Because they will not respect it the way, you know, because they don't even know how to respect their own Bibles. So they will show disrespect for our Quran. I think we'll conclude on that part. So, you know, they I think that will be fine. Let's come to those masail that, Jay, before your question. As far as the masails, as the question that was posed, let me just answer this. According to Imam Shafi, rahmatullah alayh, according to Indal Shafi, those people who combine, who makes jama' of salah, example, they are reading Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, for them it is permissible on the grounds that they are musafirs, and in Maghrib time they're reading Isha, Zuhr time they're reading the Asr, they've read the Zuhr Salah, they read Asr. Well, I have Shawafi colleagues, ulamas in South Africa. Sometimes we sit and we have healthy discussions as well. MashaAllah, Shafi, Shawafi ulama also in South Africa, who are my age group as well. But what I am saying, according to them, they have no problems. On the same masla, Ujinga, Shafi ka nazdik, koi karahat nahi hai. Khub khao. Shafi ka nazdik, no karahat for jinga. What masail we discussed with jinga was according to Ahnaf, Hanafi. Okay, some eat it, some don't eat it, some ulama say this, some ulama say this. So that also we made clear. Now coming to the Ahnaf, according to the Hanafis. According to the Hanafi, what we should be doing, we don't have that gunjaish like the Shawafi for Salah. Right? So what we should be doing is, if it's time for Zuhr, and you know, MashaAllah, I can keep my wudu well, then try to read your Zuhr Namah towards the end of your Zuhr time. But in your case, I will not answer it like this, because our time of Zuhr and Asr is very short time. At this moment in summer, you've got a very big gap. Zuhr and Asr. A very big gap. So in other words, for so many hours, you're not going to read. So you have maybe two choices. That you may read your Zuhr Salah in its normal time. You have the time. And you may also read your Zuhr Salah towards the end time, making sure that it's not Qadha. Right. So in other words, you will read your Asr Namaz at its awal waqt, and read your Zuhr at the end time, but not making it Qadha. This is how we would do it in South Africa, that we will read, because our time, you know, our gaps are not big. Whether it's winter or summer, ours is basically almost the same, with a very short differences right through. Maybe hour going this way, hour going that way. So, you know, I find it quite strange. So that is why I will not be able to answer too much, but I just giving a general rule that we cannot be combining it like the Shawafi. That part I'll make it very, very clear. That you cannot be saying, I'm reading my Maghrib Salah in the time of, I'm reading my Maghrib and I'm going to read my Isha now in the time of Maghrib. That is permissible according to the Shawafi. I take another example. When we go for Hajj, I'm sure most of us went for Hajj, isn't that so? And can you remember you have performed one Salah? When you were supposed to read Maghrib Salah, in the time of Maghrib, what did you do? When did you read it? When it was already time for Isha. And according to us, what we would say? Qaza ho gaya. Lekin what niyat you making? Niyat of Adha. Why are you making niyat of Adha? Allah's law. Allah's hukam comes in. Whether you like it or don't like it, if a person is going to perform the Maghrib Salah, in the time of Maghrib, you have done kufr now. A khatra of iman. When is that? When you are going for Hajj, and when that particular salah is coming for Maghrib, what are you going to do? We're not going into lengthy discussions now. But those that went, you know what I'm talking about, so I'm not going into those details. That the time of Maghrib salah, the hukum from Allah is you don't read your Maghrib in the time of Maghrib. You are going to carry on. And you shall read your Maghrib in the time of Isha. But you shall read it with the niyat of Ada. Ke main Ada karta hun, Qaza nahi karta hun. Because it's Allah's law. Allah's law comes in. No other law comes in. Allah's hukam comes in. No other hukam comes in. We understood what you are saying. So we must also understand that whether we understand the mas'ala or don't understand the mas'ala, whether we understand something or don't understand something, we cannot be questionable. Khatra of iman. So there are things that sometimes you can question something and sometimes you cannot question something. Sometimes you question something and shaitans get the better part of it too. So sometimes it's better to make su'ut. We say nothing, but we're hearing with other people's questions. And we're understanding and learning through other people's questions. So coming back to conclude here before I ask this brother, that according to Hanafi, you have a choice. Read your Zuhr Salah towards the end. Or read your Maghrib Salah towards the end, before Qaza, and read your Isha Namaz Awwal Waqt. Or the other option is because your time span is, mashallah, very long time span. So you read your Zuhr Namaz, you got so many hours that we don't count like that day also. And you got four? Your Asr. So I think in summer you got no problem. You know why? You can travel from one end to the other. Like when I came, I read my Isha Salah and then I took the plane. And you're reaching another country Fajr time. So it's really faida hai. So you should also watch which flight you're taking, how you're taking it, when you're taking it. You know? Ji, your question.
My question was, what is the ruling according to the four fiqhs of Islam when reading Quran or any kitab in the masjid? When the Muslims are here in a very loud voice, what is the ruling amongst the other fiqhs? Because in this masjid we get a lot of other.
Ji, the question is, in the masjid they are performing salah and somebody is reading Quran aloud. Simple answer. Let's answer that. So there's no ikhtilaf, there's no difference, there's no misunderstanding. Very easy questions. You can answer it in two, three different angles. If any farz salah immediately has just completed, like you have performed the Maghrib salah, and a person wants to read his extra sunnat namazes, nawafil namazes, we should leave a little time span. In the duration, usually and normally, people would sit in the masjid. Because after every farz salah, other than our Asr Salah, there is no namaz after the Asr Namaz. But on that masala, quickly let me just say, if a person got Qaza Salah, Qaza-e Umri, the ijazat is for Qaza-e Umri even after the Farz of Asr Salah, but not in the masjid. Understand that very well. Because somebody might think, what new innovations is he bringing about? So he should go to his house and do that. Or it's not possible for him to go to his house, as an example quickly, that it doesn't mean it has to be only in his house. He can do it in his shop also. Mm-hmm. Or maybe in a masjid area where he's 101% sure that nobody is looking at me. So he can close a little room, you know, like a classroom, a little door, whatever. And he's in the area and he loves to be in the masjid. And he doesn't want to go home, because when you go to home, it means you're going back to dunya. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. You know, you got this complaint and you must buy bread and you must do this and go and buy milk and go to the shop and do this. We're not saying don't do that. Do all that. But it diverts you from your ibadat. So as long as you know those masails also, we should not make our house a kabristan also. We know those masails too. But at the same time, we know when we go home and say, I'm going to read my sunnah and nafil and do this and do that, we go with good intention. But when you reach there, you got this takaza and that takaza. So that also doesn't get done. So in today's time, you should accomplish everything in the masjid. Allah maaf kare. But the sawab is more. All your extra nawafil and all your extra ibadat actually is supposed to be done at home. But let me answer yours, otherwise you think I don't want to answer. I'm evading it. I don't want to evade that. So what I am saying, that if a person after the first salah leave a certain gap of duration, example 15 minutes, 20 minutes, that's an average time that most people remain there. After that, everybody is gone. So you have two options. If the masjid is big enough, then the person should take his Quran, right? Sit in one corner of the masjid, right? And a person wants to perform salah, he's on another corner. Mm-hmm. Let's get the two corners right now. The person who is reading Quran, he should now come to the front saf. Because if he is in the back, and the person performing salah, he's showing his back, his backside, in other words, to the Quran now. He's showing disrespect to the Quran. Or angle yourself differently, that a person takes that corner, or because namaz you can read anywhere now. You can open the door also and be on the other side too. Mm. You're still performing salah and you're still in the masjid. Mm. So likewise, the Quran also should be given the highest respect. Alright? So even if he has to go out with his Quran and away from the door, mashallah, this masjid is very big. Mm-hmm. So you can work your way out. Example, the masjid is very, very small. It's a tiny masjid, it's a very small masjid, it's a compact masjid. So we should also use our discretion. That you know what? That person is also performing salah, he's also doing ibadat. And at the same time, I'm also doing one act of ibadat. So you should not read in a very loud voice also. So you should read it in such a manner that the lip service is there. When we are performing our salah, we don't remain dumb. Get the other masala right. When you're reading nafil salah and whatever you are doing, this lip must not be totally closed. It is not salah. Your salah will not be ada. There must be a lip service. So when you are performing your salah, there should be a lip service. At the same time, when you are reading your Quran, you should also have a lip service. You should know when to make it a little louder, a little softer. Time works okay? Jazakallah. Jazakallah.